Live and local, we are Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette. It's time for RP3 and Company, where Raymond Parch III and Cody Schutz talk sports with the biggest names in the state of Louisiana. Raging Cajun legend Brian Mitchell.
My dream was always to play in the NFL, so having that opportunity was the main thing I needed.
LSU College World Series hero Warren Morris.
I don't get tired of talking about it. You know, if people remember me for that home run and winning that championship, I think that's great.
Time to find out what's behind that door as RP3 and Company starts now.
Good morning, Acadiana. This is Raymond Parch III, your host for RP3 and Company, right here on 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios this morning, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Also simulcast on KXKW Channel 32.1 Stadium Network. Have a jam-packed show for you today. Our good friend John Marques from the Town Talk and thetowntalk.com is going to be joining us at 6:32. Denny Broussard, STM coach, friend of the program, will be live in studio in the second hour. Going to get his thoughts on the NBA playoffs, plus much, much more. James Yasko from the Lima Time Time podcast is joining us, talking about the Astros taking that rubber match last night against the Twinkies. And Les East from CrescentCitySports.com. Going to get his thoughts on the David Griffin hire, as well as what are going to be the Saints' plans tonight and tomorrow for the NFL draft. Plus, much, much more. But we're going to start things off. Look, if you want to know how tonight's entire first round of the NFL draft is going to go down, ladies and gentlemen, you're in luck. Cody Schutz and myself have reached out to all of our sources.
Begrudgingly. painstakingly. It's been tough.
All of our sources and had them give us the insight. We're going to tell you how the first round's going to go down exactly to a T. Now, does that mean that all of our projected first round picks will be the same? Possibly, depending on time constraints.
I may just read right back to you Todd McShay's mock draft. I may just read it right off of the page there.
Just go, this is what, see? Genius. Yeah, we could have a McShay Kuiper thing. I could do Mel Kiper's mock and you could do McShay's.
Nobody will notice.
No one will notice.
Those guys are always wrong anyways. It doesn't matter.
So that's what we're going to do. We're going to have a little fun today because obviously no one knows what the hell is going to happen today or tonight, rather. They really don't. You have the mock draft after mock draft after mock draft, and sometimes it's just silliness. I love the mock drafts that sit there and speculate there will be a trade. Let's go down this scenario.
Oh, you're going to love mine.
Oh, yes. Yes. Well, let's get right to it, Cody Schutz. Cue up the music.
The Arizona Cardinals are on the clock.
Oh, I get to go first?
I mean, I can go. I think we have the same pick here. Kyler Murray.
I do not.
Oh, well, you're starting off fun already. Okay, well, Kyler Murray will go first in tonight's draft. Raymond, who do you say is going to go first in tonight's draft?
Bosa.
Oh, We're already so far off base. We've made a half a pick, and we are already so far off base.
No, I'm just messing with you. I think it's Kyler Murray, too.
Right? I mean, he's a quarterback.
I think Arizona, I think the last 4 or 5 days, I think that's a smokescreen. I think unless someone trades up with them, and the only team that can trade up with the Arizona Cardinals, I feel, is the Oakland Raiders. And would the Raiders, because the Raiders are at four.
Correct.
The Raiders could trade their number four pick, and don't they have another first rounder this year? They do, right? They have multiple first round picks.
They pick again at 24.
If you're Arizona, do you trade with Oakland and get their number four overall pick and then get another first round pick? Because you're in a total rebuild mode. And if you're Cliff Kingsbury, why not be able to put your entire stamp on this? All reports are him and Josh Rosen are getting along, that he's been impressed by Josh Rosen. So that's the only thing. If Arizona stays pat, I think they take Kyler Murray. I agree with you. I think it's going to be boredom. We all know it's going to happen. But if someone gets so crazy, look out for the Oakland Raiders. And here's the other one to look out for, Cody. The Washington Redskins. They've been known to do this in the past where they trade a king's ransom to get up in the draft. They did it when they took RG3, number two overall. Could they be a team that's going to be in play that's going to throw the whole top 10 into a tizzy? Definitely a possibility. Raiders, Redskins, be on the lookout for them trading up, trying to get one of those quarterbacks. Knowing the Redskins, they'll probably trade up when they don't need to and draft Will Greer.
Nah, that would be about right. Yeah, with Kyler Murray going first, my entire breakdown and analyzation of that is he plays quarterback. That's plain and simple. I mean, it's the position du jour. Everybody is all, you know, and it's an important position. Should the Cardinals take Kyler Murray? Only time will tell. I can't sit here and
But you just took Josh Rosen last year.
Yeah, I don't
think
and
he only
care.
Started like seven or eight games.
I don't think they care.
I think they. I don't think they understand how to run a front office.
Oh, well, that, yeah. I mean,
okay.
Larry Fitzgerald would be their best general manager.
And if I'm Larry Fitzgerald, I'm like, really, guys? Really? 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 This is what we're doing? I've given you my entire career, and this is the crap you give me. If they do take Kyler Murray, then don't be surprised. Maybe not during the first round, but definitely day two for the second, third round that they dump Josh Rosen. Probably a second round pick or something like that. But yes, we are in agreement. Kyler Murray.
The pick is in. Number two overall pick for the San Francisco 49ers. I'll go first this time, Ray. And I think the Saints trade up and they draft Devin White. No. I think they trade Drew Brees. They trade Alvin Kamara. They get rid of, they get rid of everybody. take Devin White, second overall, no. The 49ers are picking here. And when I said that we were so far off base when you made your riff about picking Nick Bosa number one overall.
You got him going number two.
No, it's because I don't have him going number two overall. So I thought if you've got him going number one and I've got him going farther down the list than that, then that's how far off base we are from each other. But the reason I have him, Nick Bosa, slipping a little bit and the 49ers going with Quinnen Williams is just because of the how long has it been since Nick Bosa's played a football game? It's been a real long time, and I know that shouldn't matter, but maybe, just maybe, because the 49ers are trending up right now, and I think that
with a healthy quarterback, people expect them to be a playoff
team. I think that might just scare away that front office enough. I don't think there's a big enough difference in my mind between Nick Bosa, who probably is the better player, but I don't think overall there's a big enough difference between Nick Bosa and Quinnen Williams on that D-line that the 49ers could maybe afford here to play it a little safer, if you will, and go with Williams instead of Bosa. So that's where I'm at.
I go with Bosa here because I think they need an edge rusher more than they do a D tackle. I think it's a bigger need for them. And
I think that's splitting hairs a little bit, but I understand what you're saying. When you're talking about positions of need for me, I know edge rusher and then interior defensive lineman are obviously two different things. But I think when it comes to that for the 49ers, they just need to shore up that front any way they can.
You could get Nick Bosa and then sign Ndamukong Suh to a one-year deal if you wanted to.
Yeah, but why haven't you signed Suh already?
That's a question, a separate question. Why hasn't he been signed, right?
Yeah, you know, so I don't.
That's interesting. I think one of us is right here.
Whether it's me or you, I think one of us is correct.
That is correct. So, Nick Bosa, you go with Quinnen Williams, the D-tackle out of Alabama. I go with Nick Bosa, the edge rusher who didn't even play this year, right? And maybe he played a couple games out of Ohio State. So, all right, pick two is in. Let's go with pick three. You're on the clock, New York Jets.
Here is where I have Nick Bosa going. I have him. The Jets would are salivating at the chance of Bosa slipping past the 49ers. If Bosa does happen to drop, he doesn't drop more than one spot, in my opinion, and he goes to the J-E-T-E, Jets, Jets, Jets.
This is where I have Quinn and Williams going. So we're just 2-3. We're flopped there. The Jets have long been connected to a D tackle. They need one desperately in the way they want to run their defense. And look, the Jets could trade back. They won't because they somehow find a way to screw this up. Instead of compiling picks that they could easily compile. Is there that much of a difference between Quinn and Williams at Alabama and Ed Olivier, the D tackle out of Houston? I don't think so. But here, I think it's Quinn and Williams. That's the guy that's been connected to the Jets. He's made several visits with them. So far, our top three is the same three players, just not in the same order.
Right. Kyler Murray, Quinn and Williams, Nick Bosa from me. Kyler Murray, Nick Bosa, Quinn and Williams from Raymond. Heads up, if you're listening on the app, you may not be getting this notification, but there is a severe thunderstorm warning or watch in Rapides Parish for Avoyelles right now. So if you're listening on the app, not getting that weather service notification, if you're around Rapides Parish, Avoyelles
Parish, yeah.
Keep an eye out. Be safe out there. Some severe weather going to be rolling through pretty soon. But we'll move forward now. We have the Oakland Raiders, right?
The Oakland Raiders are on the clock.
To keep looking over my shoulder. The Oakland Raiders here. I am going to bring to fruition what our guy, Connor O'Gara, said yesterday. And
you're stealing my thunder.
Oh, no. Well, let's do it together. 3, 2, 1.
Devin White.
Yeah. We both got D. White going to Raider Nation. Because how fun would that be? John Gruden, Devin White, just wrecking people over there on the West Coast. And then Devin White in Vegas. Could you imagine? There's a desert in Vegas. What could Devin White do in a desert? I'm just saying.
They need a stud. They need their next Khalil Mack. Even though I don't know if Devin White is as good as will be as dominant as Khalil was, but they're trying to remake this roster. Devin White's going to be a good locker room guy. If the Raiders stay pat at 4 and don't trade up and do something crazy, I am not sold on the fact that they believe Derek Carr is their franchise quarterback. Not with Mike Mayock there and John Gruden. I don't believe that, but are they going to take a quarterback here at 4 and with Derek Carr? No. They need help on the defensive side of the ball. Mike Mayock's not going to be able to pass up on a franchise linebacker. Devin White, who's been projected to go to Tampa Bay, me and Cody say, hell no, he is not going to be playing for those ugly, terrible Buck uniforms. Yeah. First of all, why not just go back to the old unis from the 80s? Come on, the Dreamsicle uniforms are the best for them. That new stuff is horrible, terrible, terrible. So, that's right, the Oakland Raiders with the 4th overall pick in tonight's NFL draft will take Devin White out of LSU. The Tampa Bay Bucks, who are now are crying because the guy that they wanted is off the board, are now picking.
Yeah, they can have Ed Olivier, I guess. That can be their compensation. I know it's D-line to linebacker, but it's still going to give them a should-be stud on the defensive side of the ball. So I think that they'll kind of lick their wounds there and take a defensive tackle.
I disagree.
Fair.
I'm going to go with some of the insider information that Connor O'Gara gave us. A guy that he is very high on that people are going to go, why the hell was this guy not taken? Edge rusher, linebacker, the SEC Defensive Player of the Year, Josh Allen out of Kentucky.
Yeah.
I think he's rising up the boards. I almost had the Raiders taking him as well. That could be a possibility if Oakland stays at 4 that they could take him. But I think Josh Allen, I think the Bucs need a linebacker. I think it's a tough call. They need someone to replace Quan Alexander, and it could be Devin White or Josh Allen. But I think with Devin White going to the Raiders, that the Tampa Bay Bucs will select Josh Allen, the pass-rushing linebacker out of Kentucky with the 5th overall pick. That means the New York football Giants are on the clock, Cody.
I'm very excited over there. This is where I have Josh Allen going because the Giants also had their eye on Devin White. I could see the Raiders possibly, because this would be okay with me too, the Raiders possibly swapping spots with the Giants there for, you know, maybe some cash or whatever the compensation is, swapping spots and then the Giants being able to take Devin White, and then maybe however vice versa it works out. But this is where I have Josh Allen going. The Giants need a linebacker. Josh Allen at this point I think is the best linebacker still out there, so that's where I have Josh Allen from the SEC.
SEC. I have the New York Giants. You know what? Let's go to break. We'll tease it. I'll give my number six overall pick when we come back
take
from
a break.
Take
a break in the middle of a round. What's wrong with you? It's just nonsense.
You got to get that corporate sponsorship in.
What corporate sponsorship? What are you talking about?
I'm full on Mel
the Kiper. NFL draft.
I'm full on Mel Kiper.
The RP3 and Company draft brought to you by Snickers. What?
Brought to you by... brought to you by lack of sleep.
I feel like I'm like 90% accurate right now.
Oh, my man is confident this morning. I love it. We'll continue on with our mock draft here on RP3 and Company right here on 103.7 The Game.
With the sixth overall pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the New York Giants select...
Dwayne Haskins.
Oh, you stole my thunder.
Oh, Dwayne Haskins.
You stole my thunder.
Will be the second quarterback taken off the board.
Archie Manning would come in there and burn the building to the ground. He would burn the building to the ground.
That's what I think. I think the Giants at six. I think
New Orleans' favorite son is going to be pissed.
Well, his time is done, bro.
I'm not talking about Eli. I'm talking about Archie. Archie's going to be. I could care less about Eli. The only thing good about Eli is his derp face. Look at his face when he's deep in thought and tell me he's thinking anything else than the word derp. Exactly.
That's true.
Well, since you went there with Dwayne Haskins, he is my number seven overall selection. I have him going to the Jacksonville Jaguars, who have apparently no one on their team, at least anyone who cares about football. So, good luck to Dwayne. I hope the weather should be all right down there until the hurricanes start hitting. So, yeah, Dwayne Haskins, for me, is going number seven overall to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I just think whether he deserves to go that high or not, again, he plays the position of quarterback, and that makes all the difference in the world, and I think that a team would
So many people are desperate for quarterbacks,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think they'll reach, and they won't even think twice about it, and hopefully it works out because I'd like to see Dwayne Haskins be successful, but we'll see. Maybe he'll be poor at first and then try and then like somehow end up on the Saints roster and then be the next big thing.
So you're going – I went with Dwayne Haskins for the New York Giants at six.
And I went seven.
And you went with Haskins at seven to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm going to go offensive lineman because the Jags need help. They could go tight end here, the kid out of Iowa, but I think – they're going to go with Jawan Taylor.
They're nice.
Out of Florida is where the Jags are going to go there. They need help. Coughlin likes building up from the line out. They could also, because I don't have him drafted yet, Ed Olivier. Mm-hmm. They could go Ed Olivier here as well. But I think they'll go with offensive line help instead.
Okay, so that was your Jacksonville Jaguars pick, correct?
That is correct.
Trying to keep track over here. There's a lot going on. We got this, though. Picking after the Jaguars is the Detroit Lions. Full disclosure, I am kind of peeking over at Kiper's draft here and there just to make sure I'm staying in order and not being super ridiculous. Kiper has the Lions taking a tight end here. I don't know. Yeah, TJ Hockenson from Iowa. I don't know. I disagree with that, which probably means that they will take the tight end. I think they're going to go with Jawan Taylor here in this spot. Now it seems like I'm copying you, but it's only because tight ends, yes, they can be playmakers, obviously, but they're few and far in between. I think the Lions would be more inclined to still draft someone that can put their hand on the ground at the edge of the offensive line, just not catch passes. So they go with Jawan Taylor here on the offensive line.
I went for the number eight overall pick for the Detroit Lions, I'm going Ed Olivier.
He dropped a little bit in your board. That's fine.
A little bit, but he's still a top 10 pick.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you got to remember, Detroit is now ran and coached by a defensive-minded coach, longtime coordinator under Bill Belichick. They're going to view him, I think they would view Ed Olivier as a franchise kind of D-tackle guy that they can build the defense around because Patricia was not too happy about his defense last year. So, I go Ed Olivier at number eight overall from the Detroit for the Detroit Lions out of Houston. The number 9 overall pick. Who's on the clock? The Buffalo Bills. No one circles the wagons. No one.
I honestly don't know where to go with this one. I don't know what the Bills do. So just because, and I'm going to be full disclosure here, I'm not, you know, the insider guy for the NFL. I have my ideas, and that's all they are. We're fantasy booking, so to speak, at this point. I am going to throw TJ Hockenson there to the Bills just for two reasons. One, because he does show up on Mel Kiper's board here early on in the draft, so I have to assume that somewhere in the top half of this first round, he will be selected. So I'm going to try to keep him in there. And drafting a tight end at number 9 overall seems like a Bills thing to do. So TJ Hockenson, the tight end out of Iowa, for me, going to the Bills. Playing in some cold weather.
I have the same guy at the
back
same
to
spot.
Back like it's TJ Hockenson at 9 overall. You can't. It doesn't rhyme like Drake's song, but you get it.
That's right. I go with the best, people consider the best pass catching tight end in this year's draft. It's a deep class for tight ends. The young man out of Iowa should be a good fit there in Buffalo. If you decide last year that Josh Allen is your franchise quarterback, then you need to give him weapons. And a young quarterback's best friend is what?
A tight end.
Pass catching tight end.
Or I guess a pass catching running back.
Pass catching running back.
Same. Fills the same position there, I say. So let's finish up the top 10, Raymond, with the team that is the highest of all in altitude. The Denver Broncos. Because get it, Denver's in Colorado. Get it? I've got the Denver Broncos who are a little bummed about not being able to get a quarterback. They're a little sad about that, but that's okay. Because on my board, who falls to them to make just a scary, so scary matchup for any offensive line, I believe, to pair with Von Miller, Montez Sweat, to the Denver Broncos. Look out. That defense is getting better.
I like that pick. I like that pick a lot. It makes me regret my pick a little bit. But
you did that to me 3 times already. I don't know, worry about it.
I thought about a quarterback here because
they need one.
They need one, and John Elway loves him some Drew Lock. I'm not so high on Drew Lock, but do you take a chance on a guy being a franchise quarterback, or do you take the second or third best linebacker in this year's draft? And I went with Devin Bush, the kid out of Michigan. Makes sense on the defensive side of the ball. Montez Sweat's got the injury issue that we talked about with Connor O'Gara that could drop him. So that's our top 10.
We'll at least get the top 10 put up for you in some sort of blog form. At least that.
So that's the RP3 Company mock NFL draft top 10 so far. We will try to get to the rest as the show progresses.
This is a struggle.
We make no promises today. Coming up next, John Marques from the Tal Talk, TalTalk.com is joining us right here on 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company. I am your host, Raymond Parsons III, here on 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Simulcast on KXKW Channel 32.1. Just a reminder, you guys be safe out there today. Currently, all of Acadiana is under a tornado watch. Severe weather is out there. Please be careful. While you're out on the roads today, we will keep you posted. But as of right now, all of Acadiana is under a tornado watch. St. Landry Parish, Lafayette Parish, Acadia, the whole 9 yards. Y'all be safe out there today. We will keep you posted with the latest updates when it comes to the severe weather that is hitting our area as we speak. Now it's time for us to head out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline as we welcome on our next guest. He joins us every Thursday bright and early. He's the senior columnist for the Town Talk and thetowntalk.com. It's our good friend John Marques. How are you this morning, John?
I'm doing well, Ray. Nothing like waking up at 5 a.m. to a tornado warning, so I'm ready to hit the day.
Yes, severe weather blanketing the entire state. But please be safe up there, John, up there in your neck of the woods.
Thankfully, I think the worst has left us, so good luck for all y'all. But, yeah, it's no joke this morning.
Well, let's try to talk a little bit about some sports here, John. And today is the NFL draft, the first round of it. Second and third round is tomorrow. Fourth and seventh will be, of course, on Saturday. Wanted to kind of get your thoughts. You know, this is the week, this past week is a lot of smokescreen, a lot of BS, a lot of agents put out false information. Let's start at the top of the draft. Do you think Kyler Murray is going to go number one overall to the Arizona Cardinals?
You know, you're asking the wrong person because, I mean, who thought Baker Mayfield was going to go number one last year? And everybody, we all made fun of the Cleveland Browns. There they go again. And looks like he turned out to be a pretty decent pick for them. I really don't know. I don't think anybody knows other than Cliff Kingsbury and the brain trust in Arizona. But knowing how they have operated in the last 12 months or so, I would say, yes, they're going to take Kyler Murray and end up with two first-round draft picks and back-to-back years of quarterbacks and not know what to do with either one of them. So I'm going to say yes.
If they do take Murray, though, do you think Rosen's on the move either on day one or day two?
I'd say day two. Because, you know, the thing that what makes Bill Belichick and the Patriots so great, and it's what made the Steelers dynasty in the 70s so great, is you don't win Super Bowls on the first day of the draft. You win them in rounds 3 through 7. That's where you get all your depth. That's where you find all your, you know, that's where you find your gems. I mean, you know, look at some of the greatest players in the NFL today. They weren't first-round draft picks. You know, Tom Brady, you know, famously, fifth-round draft pick, I'm sorry. Antonio Brown was a sixth-round draft pick. You build your depth in those later rounds. That's where you win your Super Bowls. It's not, you know, you can definitely lose a Super Bowl by day one by picking a bust. And, you know, you look at, you know, you go by year by year by classes and how many Hall of Famers come out of them. You know, it's not as many as you think. And, you know, so day one has the big ratings. Everybody builds it up to it. But, you know, teams win Super Bowls through the last half of the draft. And that, to me, was what makes New Orleans Saints and their prospects for this draft interesting. Are they going to try to trade up to get into the first round, or are they just going to hold back and see what comes available to them?
Talking to John Marcase, senior columnist for The Town Talk and thetowntalk.com. John, you know, it's an interesting draft in a lot of ways, a lot of defensive players.
Mm-hmm.
Your boy Josh Allen out of Kentucky is rising, Quinnen Williams, D-tackle out of Alabama, Devin White out of LSU, and then there's a bunch of quarterbacks. Any surprises out of that mix? It just seems like there's going to be quarterbacks, and then there's going to be a bunch of defensive linemen and pass rushers that are going to be selected early in the first round. Or do you think that someone's going to throw a monkey wrench into that? Maybe the Denver Broncos, if they take Drew Lock, which I don't know why you would, but John Elway's made poor decisions when it comes to quarterbacks. Any surprises?
The thing I think is going to be a surprise is if Arizona doesn't take Kyler Murray, and, you know, they've been sending out some smoke screens that they don't. If they don't, then what happens? Where does he fall? Do the Giants, you know, do they finally try to realize that Eli Manning is his career is rapidly coming to a close, or, you know, do they go somewhere else? You know, and the amazing thing that you see now is you hear, and I guess this is what is frustrating about the NFL draft, is they base everything on combine and how fast you can run this or how fast you can do that, which is going on the Wonderlic test, and they forget a real simple principle. Is the kid a good football player? Did he have production in college? And, you know, the one that's come up is the Rashawn Gary is, you know, he was the number one overall recruit, Jim Harbaugh's big first get up in Michigan, and he didn't have production. You know, you compare him to Devin White or Josh Allen, the production doesn't match up. But So are you going to take Rashawn Gary, who really didn't perform in college, or are you going to take proven producers? And then you hear about Greedy Williams. Well, you know, I don't know if it was Peter King, word is he may not be devoted to football as much as the NFL gurus would like. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, you've never heard a bad thing come out of LSU about Greedy Williams, other than the fact, you know, he wants to take care of his family. He's got a young child, and I guess that's what's frustrating about the NFL is they do everything they can to tear down some of these kids instead of, you know, some of them do have true red flags. They've been arrested. They've been arrested for that. They've gotten in trouble. But for a lot of them that haven't, why do you have to, you know, just keep knocking their character? I don't understand that.
Well, the whole reasoning behind that is because it helps save them money, right? You want to leak to the media that you believe this guy has character issues, or that he's not a good tackler, or that, you know, he doesn't deserve to be in the top 15, to try to get him maybe to fall to you, or you could get him in the second round at a cheaper price. That way you don't have to pay premium for a premium product, right? That's how that kind of boils down to. It's a very shrewd and cutthroat business move.
It is, and, you know, the other thing that you watch for in the first round is, unfortunately, you have, for the most part, you have about the same 75% of the teams picking in the top 20 each year. You know, it's not like, you know, the Steelers, all right, they missed the playoffs for the first time in a while, so they're going to slide down a little bit. But you have the same group of teams always picking. And you never, you know, if you see, say, your guy, Quentin Williams, go number one, or, you know, so that starts a run of linemen, or Nick Bosa goes first, you know, it seems like they become lemurs. All right, well, we got to get our defensive guy. Instead of, you know, sticking to their plan. So, you know, and you never know what's going to happen with the draft, especially if one of the top two or three teams throws a monkey wrench in there and picks somebody that no one expected, which leads us to the Oakland Raiders with, what, 3 first-round picks. They sent their entire scouting team home last week because they're paranoid that they're going to leak out who they're going to draft. You know, so sometimes the intrigue and the skullduggery is more interesting than the actual picks themselves.
Thank you, John, for bringing skullduggery to the table this morning.
Glad to help.
Let's talk about the New Orleans Saints, John. They've been known to be aggressive when it comes to the draft. If they really like someone, they will trade up or even trade back into the first round to get that said player. They did it with Mark Ingram, Brandon Cooks, even Alvin Kamara. That's what they've done. If they really like someone, they'll go after them. But I don't know. This year seems a little bit different. Yeah, they don't have any positions of need. Do you see Mickey Loomis, Jeff Ireland, Sean Payton doing something similar to what they've done in the past?
Yeah, that's the key question because, you know, I think they could stand pat and still be one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl, or especially be the NFC representative. Although, you know, the Rams, you wonder what their salary cap is compared to the rest of the league because they keep just signing, you know, stars left and right. You know, is this year maybe they stand pat, or do they pull off an unexpected trade by trading a starter to move up? You know, and it's weird because their defense in many ways was better than their offense towards the end of last season, which has not been the case in the Drew Brees era. So is there a reason to go up and address their defense? I really don't think so. Do they need to address maybe the offensive line? And there are several good first-round offensive line candidates out there, including the guy that from Pineville, Cody Ford at Oklahoma, who – you know, to keep sliding down, maybe they try to go up and get him, you know, because he's a good pass protector. So, yeah, it's to me, they even though they don't right now have a first-round draft pick, they may be one of the teams to watch tonight.
Talking to John Marques at the Town Talk and thetowntalk.com. John, how do you feel about the draft moving? For years, it was always in New York. And now it's, you know, rotating through sites kind of like the Super Bowl. As a guy who's covered the draft and followed it for a long time, Does that matter to you? Do you like the fact that it's moving from location to location, Philly, Chicago, this year in Nashville? Mm-hmm. Or would you rather it just be back in New York at Radio City Music Hall?
You know, I like the idea of them moving it around. I mean, you know, Philadelphia just took it to a new level. But I'll be honest with you, I'm disappointed because one of the highlights each year in the first round, there were two highlights each year in the first round of the draft, and you know what I'm talking about. And it was seeing the Jets fans boo their pick and the Giants fans boo their pick. You don't get that anymore. You know, let's face it, are the Tennessee Titans fans in the audience going to boo their first-round draft pick tonight? No, it's not going to happen. That, to me, is the only downside of them moving the draft out of New York.
And, John, I have to ask you before letting you go, even though we've been spending the whole time talking the NFL draft, because it is tonight the first round, I do want to get your thoughts on the change in leadership there at LSU with the new athletic director. It seemed to be a grand slam of a presser for sure with Scott Woodward. Your thoughts on the initial press conference and the hiring and the ouster of Joe Oliva?
You know, as we touched on it last week, you know, obviously probably the most accomplished athletic director at LSU was hired, you know, in my lifetime going back to the early 70s. You know, the one thing that sort of surprised me was he had not spoken with Will Wade yet. Is Will Wade just gone back into hiding and refusing to meet with LSU officials? I did see they had amended his contract so to make it easier to get rid of him. And, you know, his name came up in the federal trial yesterday along with several other top-name coaches, including sort of interesting Tom Izzo, who has a clean reputation. The thing to me to watch with Woodward, and he, you know, he hit all the right notes, talked about selling peanuts in the stands when he was a little kid. You know, if I'm LSU coaches, it's the exception of perhaps Dede Bro. If I'm the coaches, you could probably go and put every one of them on the hot seat for either the finishing of this season or going into next season. Beth Torino, the softball coach, she should be on safe grounds. But, you know, if I'm Nikki Vargas, the women's basketball coach, you're probably coaching for your job next year. Even Ed Orgeron coming off a 10-win season, because, you know, he has proven he's not afraid to get rid of coaches and to go after and try to go after some of the biggest names when you look at hiring Chris Peterson at Washington, Jimbo at A&M, Buzz Williams. To me, that's going to be the key is how long does he wait to start making personnel changes? That's what I'm waiting to see because let's face it, there are some coaches who, we've all been baffled since Joe Oliva took over at some of his contracts he's issued and some of the contract extensions he's proposed. And so I'm interested to see how Scott Woodward sort of cleans up that mess that he inherited.
Well, John, I appreciate you coming on, as always, early in the morning here every Thursday. Enjoy the rest of your week, and please be safe out there, brother, with all the severe weather going on. Make sure you and your family stay safe out there, my friend.
I appreciate it. Same to you.
John Marques from the Town Talk and thetowntalk.com joining us, breaking down a little bit of the NFL draft and touching on the LSU athletic director situation. When we come back, we'll close out the first hour with some more of the Ray and Cody mock draft shenanigans right here on RP3 and Company on 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company, right here on 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing, also simulcast on KXKW Channel 32.1 Stadium. Reminder, y'all be safe out there today. Currently, all of Acadiana is under a tornado watch. Severe weather is coming through the area, not only here but north of us. So if you're traveling on I-49 northbound, they've had some tornado watches and warnings in Rapidsville Parish north of us. So
John
Marques, be careful.
In Alexandria?
Yes, Alexandria, yeah. Pineville area.
And he's just saying they are just now kind of finished with the bad weather there. So that'll kind of tell you where it's headed and where it's at.
That's correct. So please be careful out there. We'll keep you posted with any updates. concerning the severe weather blanketing going through Acadiana as we speak. But that said, it's time for us to get back to a little mock draft action. The RP3 and Company first round mock draft.
We're at pick 11.
We're at pick 11. We've done the top 10. We are at number 11. Cody Schuetz, your 11th overall pick by the Cincinnati Bengals, rather.
Cincinnati Bengals, my favorite helmet in the NFL. They are going to draft Devin Bush. That's where I've got Mr. Bush landing.
It's a good spot.
To be fair, both of us have him going multiple picks higher than the network, four-letter network mock draft. Just for whatever that's worth, just a tidbit of information. Both of us think he goes a little sooner.
Take that, Bristol.
Yeah, so whatever that's worth. Who do you have going to the Bengals?
I have the pass rusher and monster defensive lineman, Montez Sweat, who you had going a little bit earlier. I have him falling just out of the top 10. Some of the medical issues have been a concern. Some teams are dropping him, or that could just be a smokescreen. Guy is a dominant presence along the defensive line. So, SEC. Yes. SEC is going to be represented. The Bengals get Montez Sweat there at number 11.
Next on the clock now, we've got the Green Bay Packers coming in. And to me, their main priority, keep Aaron Rodgers off the ground. So they're going to draft an offensive lineman. Jonah Williams is going to be their big draft. Do we match up again?
We match up again.
It's the third
this
time.
Is not planned.
No, I've not seen your paper at all.
Yes, I pick the big fella out of Alabama, Jonah Williams. The Packers, there's no one on the roster besides Aaron Rodgers. I can't think of all their best players. They're all gone. Matthews, Clinton Dix, they're all gone. If they want to try to make a run in this window with Aaron Rodgers, an aging Aaron Rodgers, then they need to give him better protection, which has been an issue for years. The big fella out of Alabama could help shore up that offensive line at the number 12 overall pick in tonight's NFL draft.
Number 13, Miami Dolphins. I guess it's Clellan. I'm not even sure how to pronounce this guy's first name, but Farrell is his last name. The defensive end out of Clemson. We all know who I am talking about. So that's where I've got, I think, the Dolphins. They're just going to take best player available when it's their pick, in my opinion, and I think that's who the best player is available right now.
Oh, I'm not saying that at all. I'm going totally different here.
Fair enough.
Drew Lock, Missouri.
You got
the third
a little
quarterback's
ahead of
coming off the board in the RP3 version. The Dolphins, you know, they traded Ryan Tannehill. Or let him go.
Or whatever they, yeah, he's no longer on the team.
So, he's out of the door. So, Drew Lock comes off the board. Miami Dolphins have their new franchise quarterback? Question mark?
We'll see.
Oh, man.
We didn't quite make it to 15. We'll catch up. Don't worry.
Oh, no, yeah. We'll be going fast and furious.
We'll catch up. You want to hear my next pick for the Atlanta Falcons. It may shock you.
Oh, you it may shock me?
It may shock you.
All right. Not a problem. We'll get more to it. Look, we got to go up to a break. We will continue the mock drafting coming up right after this break to start off the second hour right here on RP3 and Company on 103.7 The Game.
Live and local on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game. It's time for RP3 and Company, where Raymond Parks III and Cody Schuetz talk sports with the biggest names in the state of Louisiana. Pro Football Hall of Famer Ricky Jackson.
I tell you what, man, I was out playing basketball, and a lot of guys came and told me Saints drafted you, and they looking for you. I had forgot all about the draft.
UFC superstar Dustin the Diamond Poirier.
It means everything to me. You know, Lafayette, Louisiana, I was born and raised. I'm a Cajun. I love it. I can't wait to walk to the airport with that dog.
Time to find out what's behind that door as RP3 and Company starts now.
Welcome back to RP3 and Company. I'm your host, Raymond Parsh III, right here on 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. We're also simulcast on KXKW Channel 32.1. Just a reminder, all of Acadiana is right now currently under a tornado watch. They've also had severe weather north of us along I-49. So if you're traveling today, make sure to be careful out there. Pay attention to what you're doing. pay attention to the roads. If you don't need to be out on the roads, don't. It's
during,
okay.
During drive time right now, it's a little bit tough. You got to get to work, most of you. So just be very, very careful.
Just be very careful out there.
I noticed during the break it started raining just a little bit here at the studio, so I'm sure that hard weather is going to be rolling through very soon.
Correct, Amundo.
Correct, Amundo.
So we will keep you posted with any weather-related news, so just be careful out there. Now,
you can also check out at 1037 The Game on Twitter. There's a link on our Twitter there if you want specific details about this, and I'm talking wind speeds and rain likelihoods of precipitation inches and things. It's all there on the at 1037 The Game Twitter page as well. Oh, and by the way, Raymond, Blue Poncho. We're calling an audible here, Raymond. We have to switch it up a little bit.
Oh, we're switching it up? That's right. Let's tell the people we've been doing, we're having a ton of fun today with the mock draft.
Omaha.
We've been having a ton. First round of the NFL draft is obviously tonight. They're in Nashville. So let's do a recap. We've done our top 13 picks. We've been able to squeeze those in the first hour.
If it sounds like a weird number, it's because that's as many as we could do.
So let's go. Let's go. Let's do the recap real quick, Cody. You're right. We'll go pick by pick.
Do you want me to roll through all 13 of mine and then you or back and forth?
No, we'll just do back and forth.
All right. Number one, two, three.
Yeah.
The Cardinals first overall. I have Kyler Murray.
I have Kyler Murray.
So we agree there. Second overall, the 49ers. I've got them. Quinnen Williams.
I have Nick Bosa.
Nick Bosa for number three overall to the Jets. That's where I have Nick Bosa going.
That's where I have Quinnen Williams.
Look at that flip-flop. Number four to the Oakland Raiders, Devin White.
We both have Devin White going to
Looking
the Raiders.
Good in Raider
Take
Nation.
That, Buccaneers.
Yes. Speaking of the Buccaneers, at fifth overall, Ed Olivier, or Oliver, if you're uncultured.
If you're uncultured. Nice. I have the pass rusher linebacker out of Kentucky, Josh Allen, going to Tampa Bay.
We flip-flopped again because there I have Josh Allen going number six overall to the Giants.
I have the Giants picking their quarterback of the future, replacing New Orleans' own Eli Manning with Dwayne Haskins out of Ohio State.
You would swear I just copied off of your paper, but somehow got one number off and just did everything a little wrong. Because
you were at the wrong angle.
Right. So next, number seven overall to the Jaguars. That's where I have Dwayne Haskins going.
I have Juwan Taylor, offensive lineman out of Florida.
Number eight to the Lions. I bet you can't guess who I have.
You have Juwan Taylor.
I have Juwan Taylor.
This is where I had Ed Olivier out of Houston. The great D tackle. I think he's still going to be a top 10 pick. Detroit needs help along the defensive line.
This is number nine overall is where we're going now to the Buffalo Bills. My most uncertain, and I'm uncertain about basically all of these, my most uncertain pick in the top 10 is number nine spot to the Bills. I have tight end TJ Hockenson. I really don't know. That pick there for me is a lot to do with because a lot of mock drafts have in there. I really don't know much about TJ Hockenson, but that's where I've got him penciled in it.
And so do I.
There you go. We agreed on that one. And the final pick in my top 10 to the Denver Broncos, just getting that defense even better, Montez Sweat to the Mile High City.
And I went with Devin Bush, the linebacker
still
out of Michigan.
Still getting the defense better, regardless defense. How you look at it.
Unless John Elway
comes out of retirement.
He says, you know what? I've made terrible move after terrible move since Peyton Manning's arm fell off. And he couldn't throw a 20-yard pass anymore.
Still won the Super Bowl.
Still, that defense won the Super Bowl. That
Cam Newton lost the Super Bowl.
Von Miller won that Super Bowl. He's made terrible decisions when it comes to quarterbacks. I could see him reaching there, but I go with defense as well to close out the top 10. So, number 11, the Cincinnati Bengals.
That's where I have Devin Bush going.
That's where I have Montez Sweat out of Mississippi State.
12 overall was the Packers, and I got Jonah Williams, big offensive lineman.
I got the big guard out of Alabama going to the Packers there as well, which means Green Bay will pick a slot wide receiver that they don't need.
Right. And then the final pick we've given you so far, 13 overall to the Miami Dolphins. Have we decided how we're going to say his first name yet?
I'm
going to go with Cleland Farrell. You know him. He played for Clemson.
No, I have no idea how to...
I don't know how to say his first name. I think he might be one of these guys with a nickname. I don't know if he actually goes by Cleland or Clellan or whichever, but the big defensive end out of Clemson, Farrell, 13 overall to the Dolphins.
I like that. That's a good pick. I have Drew Lock, though.
Crazy.
That's right.
This man is insane.
Quarterback of the future.
I like that, though.
My wife's cousin, Zach, who I'm sure is out there listening, I'm sure he's thrilled by Drew Lock coming to his Miami Dolphins.
Hey, you never know. And I mean, with them getting rid of Tannehill, like we talked about, it is a big possibility. But I think the Dolphins, they'll go with a more established guy to try to get a face of the team. Because right now, they don't have that guy. They don't have the face that runs the place in Miami. And maybe Farrell can be that as a stud Von Miller type. That's a lot of pressure on a kid, but maybe that's what the Dolphins do.
Okay. So that's our top 13. Number 14 overall, them Dirty Birds, or as Cam Jordan calls them, the black and red team, or the red and black team.
Yeah, exactly.
He refuses to call it even by their nickname. They're on the clock.
I'm going to have to calm everyone down. Sit down if you're not already sitting, because this is going to upset you, LSU Tiger fan. 14 overall to the Atlanta Falcons, Greedy Williams.
Oh, there it is.
And the reason I say that, hear me out. It's not like Atlanta doesn't have a history of going and trying to get incredible secondary talent. That is a thing that they absolutely do. Atlanta also has, I don't want to say a tradition of, but they have in the past gone and taken LSU players that have become studs, you know, barring injury. I think with the mayor's comments of Atlanta.
Oh, we get political now.
Before the Super Bowl last year.
I love it.
When she said, anybody but the Saints, that proved to me that the city of Atlanta could care less about what would actually make their football team better, and they just want to try to rub some salt in the wounds of Louisiana sports and football fans, Saints fans, LSU fans. I think they would love to draft Greedy Williams, even if he's not their ideal draft pick, just to get at the Saints a little bit there. So I'm going to say the Atlanta Falcons, number 14 overall select, LSU cornerback, Aeneas Greedy Williams.
I love your bold thinking this morning.
The Falcons would do it. Don't act like they wouldn't.
But I can't go there because they so desperately need offensive line help. So I think they get a guy that in some mock drafts is projected to be a top 10 pick. Andre Dillard, the big offensive lineman out of Wazoo, will fall to the Falcons, even though that would be terrific if they did take Greedy Williams.
It would be a thing they would do, I feel
it
like.
Would be, it would be a Falcon thing that they would do. So, but I think they go offensive line. I think they try to protect their franchise quarterback. We can debate if he's a franchise quarterback or not. I know Saints fans are not aren't too high on Matty Ice. He had the nickname before he could prove that he was a winner.
Boston College, though. He was very good at Boston College.
Yeah, but what did he win at Boston College?
I forget. He won a big bowl game. It wasn't against USC, but there was one big game.
He won the Florida Panhandle.
I forget. It was a big game because they were in the top.
AOL.com bowl.
Boston College, Matt Ryan's. It was either his senior year or his junior, whatever year he left Boston College. I don't know if he stayed all four or not, but it was that senior. They got up to number two in the country at one point. Now, they lost the game after they got there, but he had Boston College ranked in the top two at one point. But again, he can go suck an egg as the quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons. We've got on the clock now the number 15, Washington, racist names.
The WADA. Bravo, bravo.
And that's where, again, I feel like I'm just copying off of your paper, but at a terrible angle, I have Andre Dillard, the big offensive lineman, going, I swear, like, look, you see all the red writing. Look, I have my entire draft is written out. The fact that I keep picking a guy one after you, is that like a mirror behind me? Can you see my paper? But no, I'm going with Andre Dillard here. To the Washington Redskins.
That's not a bad pick. I feel that the Redskins, all transparency, grew up a diehard Redskins fan.
Right.
I hate my team. I literally hate my team now.
How you feel about Mr. Snyder? How does he make you feel? Let me stop. Triggered. He's rubbing his head. That's hilarious.
He just, even the mention of his name makes me want to throat punch someone.
Right. So him aside, who do they draft?
They miss out on their quarterbacks. Let's say in this scenario, which I don't think is going to happen, I think they're going to move up. I honestly do. But okay. We're doing a mock draft, and I don't like doing the trades in the mock draft.
Trying to avoid that. Except for the Saints' number two overall drafting Devin White. That will happen.
If they stay put, I've already had three quarterbacks come off the board. A guy that I have not been impressed by, but this is a guy that the Redskins would think, oh, this is the next, this is the future. The Washington racist names take Daniel Jones out of Duke.
No, stop! I knew that's where you were
at the 15 overall pick, reaching better than anyone else could reach, proving once again why they are the worst ran franchise in the National Football League, and once again just making me get further and further to just becoming a full-on Saints fan and just abandoning my childhood team.
Because that's right. If they make that pick, I'm going to feel bad for you. Because when you see, full disclosure, I do have Daniel Jones in my first round somewhere. But, yeah, not at 15 overall. We shall move on, though. We shall move on to another team that I hate with the just utmost passion. The Carolina Panthers, their sharp teeth and claws. They are picking at 16 overall. And I really don't care who they draft. To me, they'll always be the Panthers. And I know that's an asinine thing to say because they've been to the Super Bowl. They've won the division, all that. But still, they're the Panthers to me. I'm going to go ahead and throw them Cody Ford because he's got a real cool first name and his last name's the name of a truck.
Also, that's a kid from Pineville, right?
Yes,
that's
the kid out of Oklahoma. That Marquez was talking about.
That's right. Louisiana kid out of Pineville High School, All-American. I could see them going that direction, but I think the Panthers here, Cody, losing a stalwart on defense like they did with Thomas Davis, who they let walk. He signed with the Los Angeles Union Chargers.
I didn't even catch it. I didn't even catch it. Good job.
I think they go with an edge rusher out of Florida State, Brian Burns, who some people felt was a top 10 pick. So I think he's going to fall to them, and they will not be able to pass up a great pass rusher there.
Very well. We'll squeeze. Hopefully we can get three or four more picks in this segment here. Number 17 overall, picking for the second time in the first round, the New York Football Giants.
And that's because that's due to what trade is that?
The Cleveland Browns trade.
That's right. That's due to the Browns trade.
Well, you mean Odell Beckham.
Oh, that's the Odell Beckham trade.
Specifically.
Yeah, that's Cleveland's pick.
Yes, that is. Yes. Yeah, it has in parentheses next to Giants from Cleveland Browns. I assume that's what that means. So we're going to go with here. Remind me and everyone real quick, Ray, who did you pick at number 6 overall for the Giants?
I went with Dwayne Haskins.
You went with Dwayne Haskins? At number 17 overall for the Giants, I'm going to go with Drew Lock. See, we're on the same page there.
Oh, nice.
We're on the same page there.
Like,
but if you haven't noticed, I didn't have Drew Lock coming off my board yet. That's a bit of a fall for him, but it would be an ideal situation for the Giants if it happens to work out that way. Will it? Probably not, because, you know, like you said, the Redskins there at 15, if I don't have Drew Lock off the board, they would take him most likely. But I'm going to work it out this way. This is my fantasy mock draft.
Outstanding.
Who you got going to the Gigantes?
I say they're going to go defensive lineman Christian Wilkins out of Clemson.
Okay.
One of the best prospects.
Second Clemson defensive lineman drafted.
That is correct.
First round.
I say they go Christian Wilkins out of Clemson there at number 17 overall. Help shore up that defense there in a full rebuild mode. They got their quarterback of the future in my mock draft with Dwayne Haskins. Now they got a guy that can be a franchise D lineman on the other side. They could also go O lineman there, but I see Christian Wilkins there for out of Clemson.
And that's going to take us to 18 overall. The people eaters. The Minnesota Vikings, dang it. I've got them taking offensive lineman. Maybe could be playing center for them. It's possible. Garrett Bradbury from the Wolfpack to Sweet Me.
It's a good pick. I thought about going that direction as well, but I went with Cody Ford out of Oklahoma here. They lost. They need help across the offensive line. Minnesota does. They lost Nick. We already know they lost Easton to the Saints. They could go guard center there with your pick, but I think they'll probably go with Cody Ford out of Oklahoma, kid out of Pineville, Louisiana, there at pick number 18.
To number 19 now overall, the Tennessee Titans. They are going to make their selection now. I've got them taking a linebacker here, an outside linebacker, who slipped down my board just a little bit, but I'm going with Brian Burns from Florida State.
It's not a bad pick there. That's not a bad pick at all.
I feel like the Titans, they could use a guy on their defense that can be that guy. Now, will Brian Burns be him? And who knows? Time will tell. But I think he is their best bet in this spot to get a guy to be that guy.
You know, that's a good pick. Now you're making me waffle a little bit here. So, Titans, they need a lot of help. But right, if this is going to be the year for Mariota, and they're going to say all the chips are in, we're going to see what we can do with him
one more time.
Right. Do they get him another playmaker? They need help on the O-line, too, I feel. They're kind of – they could also go defensive. You know what? I'm going to go here at number 19. I think they're going to go defense. I think they're going to take Rashawn Gary, the edge rusher, out of Michigan.
It's not a bad pick at all, my friend. I think we can squeeze in one more pick here in this segment. We'll get to the number 20 overall pick in tonight's draft, and that goes – to the Fighting Allen Michaels, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I've got the Steelers taking Byron Murphy, a cornerback. The Steelers, again, their defense has been poor. Yes, they are hemorrhaging on offense now. No Lev Bell, no AB. I get that. You can't replace those guys in the draft. To try and replace those guys in the draft would put a lot of pressure on whatever kid's name you call out in that number 20 overall spot. So I think the Steelers go in a different direction, and because the Steel Curtain defense, right, that's what they're known for. The Steelers, it's their defense. It has been not great as of late.
Especially the back end.
And I think this is where they try to start to re-stiffen that defense back there, and they select Byron Murphy.
It's a good pick.
Oh, out of UW.
With the number 20 overall pick in the RP3 and Company, Cody Schutz / RP3 mock draft, the Pittsburgh Steelers are selecting Greedy Williams.
There's a good boy. If I hadn't, this is where, when I was going through my draft,
I don't care that he doesn't tackle.
When I penciled in Greedy earlier in the draft for the Falcons, when I got to the Steelers later, I was like, man, if I hadn't already done it. Like, so I agree wholeheartedly with that pick. And I think I would love to see him play for the black and yellow, Allen Michael. The black and yellow are the Steelers. He would try to call the Steelers the black and gold. They're the black and yellow. Wiz Khalifa dubs it so.
Wiz Khalifa dubs it, so he says. So there you go. 20. That's picks 1 through 20. Our mock draft, we're more than halfway through it, ladies and gentlemen.
And to be honest, it's going better than I had anticipated, I think. Our draft, it's going to be wrong, but everyone's... everyone's is going to be wrong. That's got nothing to do with us. But at least our draft, I haven't... The craziest pick so far has been yours, Daniel Jones, to, was that 15 overall? Yeah.
Oh, it's to the Redskins, of course.
That's been the craziest pick I think either of us have thrown out, if you don't count.
If there's not an Alabama defensive lineman for them to draft for the fourth year in a row, because that's been working out for them, they'll go with the Duke quarterback.
Mount Cody, did he ever play for the Redskins? Yeah.
No, he played for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, for like a year.
And then he ate himself out of the league. sidetrack. But, hey, he blocked those two field goals against Tennessee. Lane Kiffin was the coach, so we love him. When we come back here, Houston Astros, they take the rubber match versus the Twinkies last night. We'll dive into it right here on 103.7 The Game.
This ball's lifted pretty deep to left. It sends back Rosario looking up. See you later! And it'll Landry's Crawford boxes. A two-run home run for Josh Reddick. And the Astros' lead is 7-1.
Welcome back to RP3 and Company here on 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Also simulcast on KXKW channel 32.1. Houston Astros clobbered the Minnesota Twins last night 7-1 to improve their overall record to 15-9 now on the season. They take the rubber match, win the series 2-1. And they teed off on some Twins pitching there. Let me tell you. Springer, 1-for-4. Michael Brantley, DH, he had himself a heck of a game. 2 hits, 2 runs, and 3 at-bats, 2 RBIs. Reddick, 2-for-3, as you heard, with 2 runs scored. They just got it done. Verlander was lights out last night. 8 innings, only gave up 4 hits, 1 run, striking out 8. He is pitching well to start this season, a.k.a. Mr. Kate Upton. So 7-1 victory for the Stros. And
the big rubber game win there.
That's a huge.
On the road. And then it's a tough because They were on the road in Minnesota.
No. They were at home.
They're at home. Excuse me.
They have to play Minnesota like this coming week.
Is that okay? So that's what I must have seen. I apologize.
But still, to get back on track, they're now 15-9 overall, and Verlander was sensational. He just really is pitching at such a high level this year, and they need him because the other guys, as in part of that rotation, they're a little up and down. They've been teed off on. Verlander's been the steady veteran presence. That's why you brought him in. That's why you gave him the extension before the start of the season. He ended the Astros' four-game run of first innings to forget Wednesday night as he sailed through the Twins lineup with crisp efficiency through eight innings, striking out eight. The Astros starters had struggled since last Saturday against the Rangers and Twins, allowing multiple runs in each case. But Verlander put that to rest, retiring the Twins in order in the first and remaining in control for the remainder of the game. We'll talk more about the series win for the Stros with our next guest, the one and only James Yasko from the Lima Time podcast right here on 103.7 The Game.
Carlos Correa launches the first pitch of the bottom of the second, deep down the right field line. It's hooking, and it hits off the screen of the foul pole. A leadoff home run for Carlos Correa in the second, and the Astros lead 1-0. Correa with his fifth home run of the year.
Welcome back to RP3 and Company. I'm your host, Raymond Parch III, here on 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Also simulcast on KXKW Channel 32.1 Stadium Network. Once again, reminder, be safe out there. We got severe weather or at least the high likelihood of having severe weather, tornado watch in effect for most parts of Acadiana. Y'all be safe out there while you're commuting to work this morning, please.
And we have breaking news of two fatalities in Lincoln Parish due to a tornado right now. So, yeah, this weather is no joke.
So, please be safe and careful out there on the roads today, ladies and gentlemen. Right now, though, we're going to head back out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline and welcome on our next guest. He is the co-host of the wildly popular Lima Time podcast. It's all about the Astros with this man. It's the one and only James Yasko. James, how are you this morning, brother?
Hey, not too bad. Yeah, everyone be careful. What y'all are going through came through me yesterday evening. So it is not a joke.
Appreciate that, James. Let's talk a little bit about last night's game. Rubber match between the Stros and the Minnesota Twins. Look, they suffered the series loss to the Texas Rangers, and then they start off losing against the Twins as well. They're able to win the series, and Verlander was sensational yesterday with that eight-inning performance. Just your initial thoughts from this three-game series and what you saw from Verlander last night.
No, I think it's exactly why they acquired a guy like Verlander and why they gave him $33 million a year for the next 2 years, because, you know, the pitching staff is scuffling a little bit, giving up all those first-inning runs, maybe tipping pitches, maybe kind of showing what they have, and then Verlander comes in and he's the stopper. He's going to maybe one of the best starts of his career, and that's why you have him. So, it was good to see. There wasn't a whole lot of stress involved, which, you know, between that and the Rockets game, I appreciated not having to pay as much attention to the Astros, but he did exactly what sort of he's supposed to do.
He's your ace. Any concerns right now how McHugh and the other starters kind of got roughed up a little bit against the Rangers?
No, I'm old enough to remember when the Astros being accused of stealing signs was the end of the world and a shot at the integrity of baseball. and then the Rangers manager comes out and is like, yeah, I think they've done a really good job at stealing signs and it's celebrated. So it's a weird, I guess it's a weird place to be, but you know, if that's what the Astros were doing, and it certainly seems like it is, then you know, Brent Strawn, the pitching coach, and the pitchers can go in and get it fixed, and I fully expect that they'll have it sorted out next time around for sure.
So you think that's all it was, James? It was just that, right?
Well, I mean, you're over the course of 30 to 35 starts, ideally, it's okay to have one that doesn't go well. And when two pitchers who are firmly established in the game have career worst nights on consecutive nights against the same opponent, it's just weird. So yeah, I think, you know, maybe a common, and the balls that they hit, like they were getting, the Rangers blooped the Astros to death. I know Joey Gallo hit an 800 foot home run. but a lot of those runs were bloops that just kind of found holes. So it's not like they were getting just, I mean, slapped around. So I'm not all that worried about it.
We're talking to James Yasko, co-host of the Lima Time podcast, all things Astros all the time for James. So I know, James, talking to you in the past, the Rangers, you know, you get a lot of grief for that because of where you live there in Texas. Explain it to me. Why are the Rangers, who are not a great team by any stretch of the imagination, why do they have so far this season, why have they been giving the Astros so much trouble?
That's actually a really good question. I mean, the questions about the Rangers weren't really about their offense. They have some good hitters at the top of their lineup. The pitching staff was the biggest concern, and they've just sort of found it. And it's happened to line up where the Astros have been struggling, and their pitching was pretty good. I don't think Joey Gallo was a 290 hitter. He's going to make hard contact from time to time, but it's not. He hasn't shown ability to be as consistent as he has to this point in the season. So I just think it's the combination of timing and bad luck. And, you know, the Astros have, you know, they had a pretty good stretch in Arlington in 2017 and 2018. And you're just not going to win every game, you know, on the road against the same opponent. So it's a combination of things, I think.
What about the lineup, the way it's been hitting? Altuve, there seems to be the bats have been swinging fairly well. You know, the Rangers series is more about the pitching kind of struggling a little bit. The hitting seems to really be coming together. Springer's had a good season. Altuve, obviously. Bregman seems to be turning a corner. Do you agree with that? You think the lineup is continuing making strides?
Absolutely. I mean, Josh Reddick's hitting like, what, 386?
Which is surprising, to say the least.
That's insane. And, you know, Michael Brantley is doing exactly what they brought him in to do. So, you know, will they hit 300 as a team? I don't think so. But it's not far off from what I think we can expect for the rest of the year.
So far, we're near the end of the month of April, and I know it's early in the season. James, what's been your biggest surprise with this ball club, pleasant or not so pleasant?
I guess the most pleasant surprise probably has to be Josh Reddick's approach. You know, last year Reddick was sort of a black hole at the end, sort of there at the bottom of the lineup. He changed the approach and is going opposite field, and you know it's paying off for him. So he's as much of a 386 hitter as Joey Gallo is a 290 hitter. But if he can maintain this approach, he should have a pretty good year.
Was there anything that's been a disappointment for you so far?
I mean, just the sort of the inability. The first inning's been a disappointment. You know, I mean, it's not a stretch to say that, you know, giving up crooked numbers in the first inning of four or five consecutive games that's not fun. you know, I don't think the Astros are going to go to an opener anytime soon, kind of like the Rays do. But just sort of the early season, you know, one-off struggles. I guess if I had to find a reason to be upset, that would probably be it.
We're on with James Yasko, co-host of the Lima Time podcast. Coming up, if you look at the schedule, James, Anything kind of stands out to you? Any games that you're going to make sure you're going to stay up late for, or that you're going to try to see in person? Anything that's really got some juice behind it that you're excited about? I know the Red Sox come to town in May and followed by the Cubs. So those are back-to-back weeks there towards the end of the month of May. But that's still a little far way off. Anything coming up in the next week or so that you're really intrigued by, maybe a matchup?
Actually, the matchup that is the tonight's matchup. I'm so freaking excited about tonight's game with between Gerrit Cole and Trevor Bauer. It's not a secret. No one really. Not even Trevor Bauer's mom likes Trevor Bauer. Astros fans surely don't. And it doesn't seem like he likes a whole lot of people either. So the fact that Cole and Bauer were teammates in college. And that Bauer sort of has a chip on his shoulder, and traditionally hasn't gotten along with Cole. Tonight's game is actually the one that I've sort of had circled for a couple of weeks now, and I'm going to make sure that I'm there for it. Not fair, I'm not going to be able to go, but, that I'm watching it.
Trowell, I'm just imagining just a look of disgust on Trevor Bauer's mom's face every time that her son speaks.
Every time he makes like a 69 joke or a 420 joke, or you know, says, "Oh, hey, it's cool for me to sleep around with other women," you gotta be such a disappointment.
It's gotta be such a big disappointment. Oh man, Jose Altuve. If he remains healthy, James, is he going to be in the mix and keeps, obviously has to be healthy, and continues the pace that he's on right now? You think he's going to be able to be in the mix for a second league MVP?
I think he has to be. And the thing about the Astros is that if everyone has the year that, if everyone stays healthy, there's going to be like three or four. It could be Altuve, it could be Bregman, it could be Correa that are up there in the MVP. In the MVP race, but obviously there's a lot of baseball to be played.
Can we talk a little Houston Rockets with you, James?
Sure.
So
I've seen approximately four games. I know exactly. I have exactly the answers you're looking for.
They close things out though, and they move on. How excited are you that the Golden State Warriors though have not? Of all the teams that have already advanced to the semifinals of the conference playoffs, the one team that is yet to punch their ticket is the Golden State Warriors. You must be very happy about that right now.
It's wonderful, and I legitimately think that Steve Kerr is a national treasure. But between Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, like, they're just reprobates and deserve all of the struggles that they're going through.
Deserve all the struggles. My man says they deserve all the struggles. All the struggles.
Every single one.
All the struggles. What did you think of how the Rockets performed with CP3 and James Harden in this series? Were you impressed?
I was very impressed. And, you know, I've been a Houston sports fan long enough that I was just waiting for the Rockets to somehow be able to make it go to a game seven or something like that. So I was pleasantly surprised that they took care of business last night.
Yeah, and how do you like their chances, though, moving forward, man?
If they keep playing the way that they played against Utah, then it's got to look pretty good. So, it's definitely there are years where being a Houston sports fan has been an absolute struggle. And I'm kind of excited that this year may not be one of those years. Hey. But don't forget about the Texans.
Don't forget about the Texans. Yes, absolutely. Look, man, things have been going pretty well. Rockets have been good. Have been making deep runs in the playoffs. Texans have been a playoff team, even though Bill O'Brien can't seem to get them over the hump a little bit there. But they're always in the playoffs. Rockets are in the playoffs. Astros have won a World Series. It's a good time to be a Houston area sports fan, my friend.
It is, and it makes the sun shines a little bit brighter, and the air quality is a little bit cleaner, and the light rail doesn't seem to hit as many pedestrians in Houston when all the sports teams are doing well.
Nice. I like that. Well, James, brother, I appreciate you coming on, making some time for us. Be safe over there in your neck of the woods, and keep enjoying the Stros, and enjoy booing from your house, one of the most hated men in baseball. tonight.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And hey, y'all be careful today. It's pretty serious.
Thank you, James. Appreciate it. That's James Yasko, co-host of the Lima Time Time podcast, number one podcast for Astros talk.
I'm going to throw Ray, if you check, I sent you a couple pictures during your conversation there. Tornado also hitting Louisiana Tech's campus.
That's correct.
Basically knocking power out to the whole university. The baseball fields all tore up. There's entire trees laying in the outfield at Louisiana Tech right now. So just trying to frame for you what this weather is capable of doing so you don't think that we're just, you know, blowing smoke here. This is no joke. I am in a big, giant, you know, metal building. I'm fine. You need to go get yourself okay.
That's correct. And our thoughts and prayers with all of our friends there in the northern part of the state up there in the I-20 corridor. Hopefully they will be safe and sound during this bad weather that's coming through the state of Louisiana today.
But there is a roof on Minute Maid Park, so the game tonight will be played, and it will be played live here on 103.7 The Game, 7:10, first pitch.
My man, Cody Schutz. My man, Cody Schutz. When we come back here on RP3 and Company, now you know what? It's time to get back to more mock draft time with Cody and RP3 right here on 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company here on 103.7 The Game. Broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Simulcast on KXKW Channel 32.1. We're going to pause the NFL draft talk for the remainder of this hour. We'll talk a little bit about what the Saints' plans are with our next guest, Les East of Crescent City Sports. He'll be joining us to kick off the third hour. And we'll dive into the rest of our mock draft at 8:32. Get ready for it.
Oh, I'm prepared.
Oh, the final 12 picks.
Starting
the nitty-gritty.
Starting with the Seahawks and ending with the Patriots. Can't wait.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
It does sound terrible. I do want to mention Happy Avengers Week to one and all again today. Twitter officially this morning, the first spoiler-free official Avengers Endgame review has hit Twitter. So I will not be reading it, even though it is spoiler-free, the claim. But the first official spoiler-free review of Avengers Endgame is out on Twitter. You can find that there if you are so inclined. But I'm excited for Avengers. Can't wait for Saturday.
Nice. Nice.
So happy Avengers Week once again.
Happy Avengers Week to you too, Cody. You know who's...
Avenge the Fallen.
Do you know who's been playing like a superhero?
What superhero, though? Who's maybe like the Hulk. They just get bigger and angrier and stronger the madder you make them.
The UL Raging Cajun softball team.
No doubt.
They keep it rolling, the number 8 ranked team in the country. Last night went on the road for their final non-conference game and their final midweek contest. And once again, just took care of business. The Raging Cajun softball team went to Ruston, defeating Louisiana Tech on Wednesday, 7-2. Summer Ellison, she got her 30th win of the season. She becomes the 5th Raging Cajun in program history to reach the 30-win milestone in a season. Julie Rawls had herself a game at the plate. She had a game-high 3 RBIs, including having a sac fly that gave the lead back to the Raging Cajuns there in the third inning, a lead that they would not give up for the remainder of the game. She also hit a two-run single in the fourth inning. Ellison was dominant as always. The former Turlings Catholic star is now 30-4 on the season with an ERA of 1.09. She leads the nation in wins. She tossed 4 hitless frames at the Lady Texters, a good Lady Texters team who has 36 wins on the season. Okay, so this is not some type of chump, a midweek chump. This is a legit good ball club. Louisiana did pick up its 17th consecutive road win and increased its nation-leading total of true road wins this season to 18. Once again, it's the final non-conference game of the regular season for the Raging Cajuns. Keely Milligan, record breaker. She had a game-high 2 runs scored. Milligan was 2-for-4. joined Rawls in posting a multi-hit gain. You can read more about the Raging Cajun senior speedster, who now holds the single-season record for stolen bases for program history. You can go to the 103.7 The Game.
Where at now?
The 103.7 The Game webpage.
No.
That's right. .com. 103.7thegame.com.
So somebody here wrote a story about Miss Milligan? Is that what I'm...
That's right. That would be me.
What? RP3. Look at you, my friend. Little feature story on a Cajun softball.
She is a
star.
She is a dynamo. Confident, but not cocky. Interesting story why she came here. You can read all about it on the 103.7 The Game webpage under RP3's blogs.
You need to get that shared out on our social medias, man.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, sir. So she continued to have a terrific game as well. The Raging Cajuns now have a 20-game winning streak on the year. That is tied with Arizona for the second-longest active streak in the nation, trailing only, of course, Oklahoma's 31-game winning streak. And Summer Ellison became the first Raging Cajun pitcher since Jordan Wallace back in 2013 to claim 30 wins in a season. So another terrific victory performance by Summer Ellison, by Keely Milligan, by all of Jerry Glasgow's young women out there on the diamond. They also extended their win streak over Louisiana Tech to 27 games. They will return to action for their final home series this weekend versus Coastal Carolina senior weekend. So make sure to go out to Lamson Park. That'll do it for the second hour. Les East up next.
Live and local, we are Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, KLWB Karen Crow Lafayette. It's time for RP3 and Company, where Raymond Parch III and Cody Schutz talk sports with the biggest names in the state of Louisiana. LSU All-American Skylar Green.
You know, as a young athlete growing up, you always want to do the game-winning something, the game-winning shot, game-winning catch. And I thought the biggest part for me right there, that Georgia catch, that solidified everybody seeing that LSU for real.
Raging Cajun hoop star Elfrid Payton.
But it's definitely a boost for you, you know, when you look up in the bed and you see your mom, see your dad, night in and night out, it's really different. I encourage everybody to be in the opportunity to play at home, to do it, it's very fulfilling.
Time to find out what's behind that door as RP3 and Company starts now.
Welcome to the third and final and hopefully best hour of today's RP3 and Company right here on 103.7 The Game. I'm your host, Raymond Parch III. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Simulcast on KXKW Channel 32.1 Stadium Network. And we're going to finish off this hour in strong fashion. Make it the best hour of the show. You know why? Because of our first guest. He joins us every week. He's the man at ChristensCitySports.com. He covers the New Orleans Pelicans. He covers New Orleans Saints. Hell, he even covers high schools. He does it all. And he joins us right now on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. It's our good friend, Les East. Good morning, Les. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well, Raymond. How are you?
Doing great, man. So, draft day is here. The Saints do not have a pick as of right now. We've talked about it a lot on the show that if they really want someone, they will find a way to trade up to get that player. Mark Ingram, Brandon Cooks, Alvin Kamara. It doesn't matter. If they like someone, they will trade up and get that individual. When all is said and done tonight, Les, will the New Orleans Saints have drafted someone in the first round of the NFL draft?
I don't think so. You're right that they will not hesitate to trade up to get a player that they want. I think getting from where they're at the bottom of the second round into the first round would cost a very steep price. They have very few assets in this draft, so it would require probably next year's number one, if not more, or maybe a good player to put together a package to move up that far. And I'm not sure that there's going to be a player that they're willing to pay that kind of price before. So I think going that far from where they're at into the first round is very unlikely, although at some point, perhaps tomorrow even, I could see them moving up within a round, perhaps the second round, to get a particular player if they're intrigued by someone who drops. But I don't think getting into the first round is very likely. And Mickey Loomis said as much on Monday.
Les, with that being said, day two, Friday, rounds two and three, could we see the Saints make some moves there, whether it's trading a player or trading a future pick or whatnot, to get multiple picks? Because there's a lot of guys that they like, but right now they're projected not to fall to them in the second round. So are they just going to stay pat and just have the one pick on day two, or do you think they're going to do some wheeling and dealing and get maybe another second and another third?
Yeah, I think a move along those lines is much more likely than getting into the first round. It will be dictated, as you indicated, a lot by who's there. Loomis said they think this is a fairly deep draft, so they could probably go down and still get some good players. If there's nobody there who jumps out at them at, 62 is their first pick. If it doesn't look like they're going to get somebody they really like at that spot, I could see them trading down, figuring they're going to get similar value a little bit farther down. Picking up multiple choices would make sense in this draft because they only have six picks, most of them at the end of the draft, where you're not likely to get a lot of value. So I think if they can make a move to get another third-round pick or a fourth-round pick, which they don't have currently, something along those lines, where they come out of it not only with one or two more players than they're scheduled to get right now, but also someone in the higher or mid-rounds rather than having so many picks at the bottom of the draft. I think that is something that's more likely to happen than them moving up into the first round. And I think they are going to be on the phone an awful lot, especially tonight, not having a pick. They're going to be exhausting all possibilities to see what their options are. And I think the most likely one would be to try and pick up extra picks so they get out of here with more players than it looks like they're going to get right now.
We're talking to Les East. He covers the Saints and the Pels for CrescentCitySports.com. Les, Irv Smith Jr. is an interesting prospect, Alabama tight end, good pass catcher, not the best blocker in the world, but is a guy that could still develop into a very good tight end at the NFL level. We know his connection, his family's connection to the Saints. Any possibility that that happens? I know he's a high. They have a high grade on him, more than likely going to be a second-round pick. Is that? Would you be surprised if they brought in, drafted Irv Smith Jr.?
No, I wouldn't be surprised because I think the value there is consistent with where they're picking at. I do think tight end, even with the signing of Jared Cook, remains pretty high on their list of priorities. I don't think they're in a position where they have to reach for any particular position, but there are some areas that need some bolstering depth-wise. Tight end, I think, is very much in that group. I think defensive line and some other spots are also areas they would like to address depth-wise. So Irv Smith Jr. would make sense with that pick, as would a lot of other people. But I do think there's a good chance that when all is said and done on Saturday, that at least one of those picks somewhere along the line is going to be a tight end.
What do you think is going to be another pick for the Saints here, Les? Because, you know, we've talked about it. Tight end, we feel like, is going to be a need. Offensive line, defensive line, and wide receiver, right? Maybe a slot wide receiver. So if you had to rank those priorities, those four groups, D-line, O-line, tight end, wide receiver, how would you rank them in order of importance for Mickey Loomis and Jeff Ireland in their war room?
Well, that's a good question. That's a little bit tricky. I think they're all pretty close together, and the wild card in all of this is the defensive line because of the uncertainty of David Onyemata and Sheldon Rankins coming off the injury. So that's a position that is going to have some infusion of talent early in the season, and yet the second half of the season figures to be a lot stronger. So I don't think they want to make a huge investment in someone whose primary value may only last a matter of a few games. So that's a really tricky situation, how they address defensive tackle. But I think depth at defensive end is also an issue. So I would say defensive line could well be number one. I think tight end is right up there, could be the second on that list. But offensive line is also very high because of the retirement of Max Unger. I'm not sure they're totally comfortable with the interior of the line. They've had a lot of injuries. Both of their teams have been injury-prone over the years. So depth there across the board, but especially on the interior, is important. And I think wide receiver is still lacking in quality depth. And I think they also have to start thinking about the retirement eventually of Ted Ginn Jr. So those are all four areas that I think need to be addressed. I think at some point they would like to add a defensive back, particularly a safety or a hybrid. At some point, maybe a little bit less of a need than the others. Right now, it looks like running back and quarterback are probably the only spots on the team, and kickers are the only spots where they wouldn't feel a real urgency to try and add someone. But those other spots, I think, are all in play.
Talking to Les East of CrescentCitySports.com. Les, you just got done ranking the priorities for the New Orleans Saints. Let me ask you this. There's been some reports out there that Ben Watson may be considering not retiring after all, that he could be deciding to come back to the NFL for one more year. He's been linked to, obviously, the Saints, who he's played for twice, and also the Patriots, who he won a Super Bowl with. What's the likelihood, in your opinion, as someone who covers this team day in and day out, is very connected to this franchise, do you think that's a real chance that Ben Watson decides to come back and helps the Saints, just give them depth and maybe, mentor a younger tight end that they draft this year?
Well, I wouldn't rule it out because he's been a valuable player for the Saints on two different occasions. They think highly of him. He thinks highly of them. It's a position of need, as we've talked about. So I wouldn't rule out him coming to the Saints. But I think the Patriots are a better bet at this point, and there are a couple of reasons I say that. One, Mickey Loomis was asked about that on Monday, and first he was asked about his reaction. Was he surprised that Watson said he might come out of retirement? And he said he was, which told me that there had not been any discussions to that point about him coming back to New Orleans. And then the other thing is, you know, in talking to Watson during last season, I recall him saying that he had never moved his stuff from Boston when he left the Patriots. He, in fact, I think he said his Super Bowl ring was still in storage in Boston. And so he still has connections to that area. I think the retirement of Rob Gronkowski certainly makes that an even bigger priority for the New England than it is for New Orleans. And so for all those reasons, if I had to guess, I would say if he comes out of retirement, which I don't think is definite, but if he comes out of retirement, I would say the Patriots are a more likely destination than the Saints. But I wouldn't rule out a return to the Saints either.
Les, what did you think of the franchise deciding to pick up that option for Sheldon Rankins despite the injury?
It didn't surprise me. He's a guy who they think very highly of. He's made a lot of progress since he's been here. was a really good player last year. He was a good player 2 years ago, a really good player last year before he was hurt. They seem satisfied, if not happy, downright happy about the progress he's making in his rehab. I think they expect him to fully recover and be a very good young defensive tackle. And so that, it doesn't surprise me that they picked up that option. I think they expect him to be a Saint and be a productive player for a long, long period of time.
Talking to Les East at CrescentCitySports.com. Les, switch off real quick before we switch off of the draft. I know you'll be monitoring the situation, covering it. What do you think about what's going to occur at the top of the draft? Do you believe, from what you're hearing, that Kyler Murray is going to go number one overall to a team that just took a quarterback in the top 10 last year?
Yeah, that's a little hard to figure. This is different than a lot of years. There have been, it's not uncommon at all for us to know who the first player picked is going to be, and sometimes that player has even agreed to a contract before the draft starts because it's been determined well in advance of draft day. It's a little strange. You have the Arizona situation with the Rosen kid from UCLA who they drafted, but now they have a new regime over there. It looks like they want to go probably with Kyler Murray. So, you know, if I had to predict, I would say that they would probably go in that direction. But, you know, they have a highly regarded young player at the same position, and they have the number one pick in the draft. They could get a lot of assets if they wanted to move that pick. So I think they have a lot of options on the table, and I think they're working the phones, trying to see what deals are out there and if they might be able to better strengthen themselves by trading the picks. I think that's a wide-open scenario, but the most likely of those scenarios is that they pick Murray.
Les, I want to touch on Pelicans real quick before we get you out of here. What are you hearing with moves that David Griffin is trying to make now as the new man in charge there, the Pels? Anyone, is he on the, is he close to bringing in anyone else to be possibly the general manager or any other front office personnel? What are you hearing?
Yeah, it looks like they're pretty close to bringing in Redden. I'm drawing a blank on his first name. He was the number three guy at with the Clippers, worked with David Griffin in Cleveland. I believe they've already talked. He was expected to join Griffin here, I think, before Griffin even officially got the job. So I think that's probably going to be the first move that's going to be made. I think it'll probably be official here fairly soon. He may well have the title of general manager, but Griffin made it clear that titles don't mean a whole lot, especially when he's hiring people. He goes out and gets the best people, and then once they have everybody on board, they figure out who does exactly what and what title that would carry. So I think Redden will probably be known as the general manager, though certainly this is going to be David Griffin's operation, clear as can be. But I think that's going to be his first move and probably most significant move.
Les, appreciate you making time for us as always. Enjoy the draft and keep covering it the only way that you know how, brother. Like a pro, like a pro's pro, my friend. Enjoy yourself.
Well, thanks, Raymond. I appreciate it. I'll talk to you next week.
It's Les East, CrescentCitySports.com, breaking down Saints draft and a little bit of New Orleans Pelicans there for us here on RP3 and Company. When we come back here on 103.7 The Game, Will Wade. We found out yesterday his contract is not as good as it once was. We'll dive into that right here on 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company here on 103.7 The Game. Broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing, simulcast on KXKW Channel 32.1 Stadium. Just to let the listeners know, the tornado watch ended shortly after 8 a.m. So that is now free and clear, but still try to be safe out there on the roads. I know with the rain last night and this morning, still need to be careful as always out there.
Hold on. I believe they have reissued the tornado watch as of 8:18 a.m.
So they got rid of the tornado watch.
And it ended at 8 a.m. and then at 8:18 a.m., they reissued it until 3 p.m.
So, Acadiana.
All day. All day
tornado
watch.
We are under our tornado watch the entire day.
Yeah.
So please be safe out there.
I mean, the parishes specifically, Evangeline, Jeff Davis, Lafayette, St. Landry, and St. Martin. Iberia and Vermilion as well. Flood advisory in Jeff Davis and a river flood warning in St. Martin.
So whatever you do today, please, please be careful out there on the roads as you're traveling, coming and going from work, school, whatever it may be.
I mean, it took the National Weather Service less than 20 minutes to decide that the tornado watch did not need to end.
So not only did they decide that it did not need to end, that it needed to be extended until 3 p.m. today.
3 p.m., so, yeah.
So please.
Can't stress that enough.
Please really be careful. Story I want to get to before we get back to the mock draft.
No, it's been a while since I got to hit the little draft sounder. I'm getting itchy.
Mock draft extravaganza here on RP3 and Company.
The RP3 and Company mock draft experience.
Comes back to that for you. That's gonna be
forever in 100 years.
So Ross Dellinger first reported this yesterday, former longtime LSU beat writer for the Baton Rouge Advocate, turned SI reporter, reported on the details of a meeting between LSU and basketball coach Will Wade on April 12th are becoming more clear. As part of his reinstatement, the coach made concessions in his contract. According to the documents obtained by Ross Dellinger for Sports Illustrated, due to a public records request, under two amendments, he agreed the school add to his contract. LSU can now fire Will Wade for cause if he is found to have committed Level 1 or Level 2 NCAA violations, or if the NCAA Infractions Committee issues a formal notice of Level 1 or Level 2 violations to LSU involving the coach. Once again, LSU now, because of the way they reworked his contract, adding two amendments that he signed off on to become the head coach again and end his indefinite suspension, LSU moving forward can now fire Will Wade for cause if he's found to have committed Level 1 or Level 2 NCAA violations, or if the NCAA Infractions Committee issues a formal notice of Level 1 or Level 2 violations to LSU involving the head coach.
And the key to that is he can't sue the university if
Correct.
He's fired for that. That's the I don't know if you call it a clause or whatever, but the key in that is that if he is fired with cause for those things, he is not allowed by contract to sue LSU. But you're burying the lead. Tell the people what they really want to hear about this new contract.
He also agreed to waive the $250,000 in performance bonuses he contractually earned for this past season.
He gave up $250,000 to continue to be the head coach at LSU.
The old school journalist in me goes,
if it smells like a fish.
Oh, it just reeks of desperation.
I didn't.
This
do
is
it.
A guy. This is a guy who refused to talk to his bosses. Changed his attorney. Got an attorney that deals with NCAA violations. He convinces Will Wade to meet with the university, and not only that, Will Wade gives up $250,000 in bonuses, and then rewrites his contract to make it easier for LSU to fire him. That reeks of desperation.
You got my hands tied here, Alexander.
If this is a Law and Order episode, homeboy is sweating profusely from the forehead under the lights in the interrogation room.
Dun, 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 dun.
Interesting news. So I guess Joe Oliva did do something good before he left. Good job, Jeff. More mock draft extravaganza here on RP3 and Company after this break on 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company here on 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing, simulcast KXKW Channel 32.1 Stadium.
Bonus points for you if you can name where this song comes from.
I get bonus points?
Yeah. It's a Nickelback song.
I can't.
It's an old Raw theme song.
I can't. This is the old Monday
Night. Till we burn it to the ground tonight. Yeah. It's the old Monday Night Raw theme.
Nice.
Started. But it is an actual song that was on the radio as well. But
I was not expecting.
No bonus points for you.
I was not expecting Nickelback to be inserted into the conversation today, sir.
Yeah, Nickelback.
Bravo.
They get more hate than they deserve.
Oh, you're a fan of Canada's.
I didn't say I'm a fan. I just said
greatest
they get,
rock band.
They get more hate than they deserve.
I like how you.
And I believe
that.
I believe isn't Styx from Canada?
This is a rabbit hole we cannot go down. We cannot go down. We will
we'll
not be
stop
able to come
this
back.
Before we start. Good call. Good call.
Thank you.
Let me hold on. I got something that'll force a transition. Hold on.
Oh, sound the sweet sound, the sweet sound of the NFL draft.
If you do not recall where we left off, Raymundo, we are on pick number 21. 21.
That's right. We wrapped up. I picked Greedy Williams out of LSU going to the Pittsburgh Steelers at number 20.
I had Byron Murphy. Greedy, for me, went number 14 overall to the Atlanta Falcons, the Dirty Birds.
So you're ready. Are you ready to close it out, brother? Picks 21 through 32. Once again, our mock draft. We will somehow find a way to post it online. You know what? We'll make a blog post.
It'll be up there.
We'll make a blog post.
Figure it out.
Cody and Ray's NFL mock draft round one.
Yep.
We'll throw it up there after the show. Give us a little time.
Just so
because we'll have to type.
Right. Just so we can make sure that it's there in print to prove how incredibly wrong we were.
And to prove how incredibly stupid we really are.
If Mel Kiper and Todd McShay can do it, we can too.
By the way.
Blue's good, dude. We can do it.
First ballot, hair.
Oh, what?
Mel Kiper, Jr.
Mel Kiper and Tom Selleck belong next to each other in like the hair hall of fame. One for facial hair and one for head hair.
So, let's get it started.
All right.
Pick 21.
The Seattle Seahawks
are on the clock.
I am going to say that the Seattle Seahawks go with someone who can make an impact on the defensive side of the ball. They've locked up Russell Wilson. They've got him there. He's the highest paid player in the NFL for what that's worth. And I think now they're going to focus more.
Deservedly so. He married Sierra.
Good call.
There we go.
I think they're going to focus more on the defensive side of the ball and go with a guy you've already had come off the board, Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle from Clemson.
Nice. That's a good pick. I have them on that side of the ball as well. I have them picking the cornerback out of Temple University, who I got to see at the Independence Bowl.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. That's right. Two guys that I saw in the Independence Bowl in the Shreveport are going to be selected in the first round of the NFL draft in my mock draft, which is that's probably a mistake, just like it was putting all those catfish fillets in that gumbo.
Yikes.
That they had there at the eyeball. I'm going to go with the Temple cornerback, Rock Ya-Sin.
All right.
Out of Temple, going to
the
Seattle Seahawks with the 21st overall pick in tonight's NFL draft.
He does seem to have a Seattle Seahawks secondary name as well, for what it's worth.
You know, and they need help on that back end. Earl Thomas is gone.
I mean, it's
the Legion
a different
of Boom
team.
It's a totally different team. So, hey, here's a young guy that you can get in, possibly develop into a number one corner for you.
I like it. As we move on to the number 22 overall pick, that goes to the Baltimore Ravens. Nevermore, I've got them taking guard/center from College Station. Eric McCoy, I've got him going to Baltimore. I don't know what Baltimore needs. They
need O-line help.
But they need everything, so
yes.
It's tough. But their quarterback of the future seems, maybe, to be there. Who knows? I guess he's there.
You need to protect him.
And so that's why.
Regardless if it's Lamar Jackson or not, you need to beef up that offensive line to protect him, or if you have to take
whomever.
Another guy in 2 years.
Right.
So, and you brought in Mark Ingram to run the ball, so you need to beef up that offensive line. I'm going O-line as well. I'm going with Garrett Bradbury.
Bradbury.
Who you had already selected earlier.
Correct.
The center out of NC State. Wolfpack representing. Ravens could use him. I think he falls there. Garrett Bradbury, the center out of NC State, going to the Baltimore Ravens with pick number 22.
Like it too sweet from the Wolfpack. Next, on the clock, the Houston Texans. It's worth noting here that on Mel Kiper's official mock draft, he has Greedy Williams going here, 23rd overall to the Texans. So that's just worth noting.
Oh, LSU fans would lose their mind. Right. You know how many LSU fans are in Houston?
So we have, me and Raymond have Greedy going earlier in the draft, but Mel Kiper, for what it's worth, has Greedy going here. Me, for the Texans, I have them still going defense. That just seems to be their focus, where they like to go, and I think it works for them. That's kind of...
Because you do have playmakers. You have Hopkins, a top three wide receiver, and you got Fuller, who's emerged.
Your quarterback is serviceable.
Deshaun's good.
Yeah. So I look at it, them going defense. It's also seeming their defense is becoming like the culture, if you will, of the Texans. Kind of how the Steelers, you think of defense. The Bears, you think of defense. To me, the Texans are kind of going that way to where I'm starting to think defense all the time. And I'm going to give them a player that I think is very, very, very good defensive end, Rashawn Gary out of Michigan. If I think if they can scoop him up, the Texans defense is terrifying.
That's a good pick. I had him terrifying. Going to the Titans
right
earlier. I think they go defense as well. They do need a good cornerback. I have them taking out of Washington with the 23rd overall pick, Byron Murphy, who you already had off the board. So I have Byron Murphy here, the Washington cornerback, going to the Houston Texans. Boy, that would be box office, though, if they could get Greedy Williams. If Greedy falls to them.
Man, don't they already have Tyrann Mathieu? Didn't he join?
No, he signed the big deal with the Chiefs.
To the Chiefs, yes, you're right. I also saw some rumors about Patrick Peterson to the Chiefs, and then we looked at that yesterday.
Yeah,
for a second.
Apparently his rumor is that the Arizona Cardinals are thinking about trading Patrick Peterson. Once again, I have no idea. They just took a quarterback in the top 10 last year, fired their coach after one season. Now they're going to take another quarterback with the top overall pick. Oh, and they're going to trade by far the best player I've seen in an LSU uniform in person, Patrick Peterson. You're just going to trade him.
Good luck. Good luck. Oh. Now, on the clock for the second time in the first round, back to the black and silver. The Oakland Raiders are on the clock. They received this pick from Chi-Town from the Chicago Bears. And I had earlier, number 4 overall, the Raiders going with Devin White. We both did, I believe, right?
That's correct.
So that is a great pick, I think, for the Raiders at number 4 overall. Coming back 20 picks later at number 24. Now they go offense. And they draft. Oh, no, excuse me. I skipped the line. They draft. They go defense. I'm trying to read off my list. I got confused. They go defense, and they go Jonathan Abram, the safety, I believe he plays. Yes.
Yes, for Mississippi State.
Correct.
You would think as many Bulldogs are going to get drafted, they would have been better this year. I'm sorry, is that shade thrown to Stark Vegas?
Yeah, it is. Oh, I see what I did. Now, I almost read the Oakland Raiders pick that comes in 3 more picks.
Yes. Rebuilding, Oakland is. I like that as well. I'm going with a Mississippi State player as well.
Oh, look at us.
Yes. With the 24th overall pick, the Oakland Raiders are going to shore up that defense even more so by taking Jeffrey Simmons out of Mississippi State, the big defensive tackle.
Is that the noise he makes when he...
That's the noise he should
he
make.
He puts his hand in the ground?
He should just walk up. When he puts his hand in the ground, he should just look at the guard across from him and go,
Oh, we're moving on now to a team that I don't really care too much for, but they're cool nonetheless, I guess. The Philadelphia Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly. I don't know what to do with this team. This was another one of those handful of teams that I wasn't sure of. I don't really know where their big need is.
Wide receiver.
And see, but I don't know. The wide receiver is their need, I guess, but I'm going to go with a tight end here for Philadelphia. It's maybe still somebody that can apply some playmaking ability, but still going to give you more. It's more of a sure pick to me going with Noah Fant.
This is because Ertz is always banged up.
Right, he's in the prime of exactly. Right. So I'm going to go with tight end Noah Fant here, hoping that he can maybe develop for the Eagles and be something a little safer of a pick, if you will, in the first round than going with a guy that I've going in a couple of picks that we'll get to, Marquise Brown.
I took Marquise Brown here.
See, we were on the same page.
They need wide receiver help. They've had some defections and retirements. So I think Marquise Brown out of Oklahoma, yeah, the wide receiver. That's the first wide receiver taken on our in our mock draft, I do believe, right? Yeah, I think it is.
I'm scrolling through. I do not see.
Yeah, neither one of us have. Neither one of us have DK Metcalf from out of Ole Miss yet.
No, maybe that kind of makes sense. I guess.
I'll go Marquise Brown, Oklahoma wide receiver to the Philadelphia Eagles with pick number 25.
And we'll move on now to pick 26 overall. The Indianapolis Colts, they seem to be on the rise.
That's
over
correct.
In Indy. Andrew Luck is back, hopefully going to be doing his thing. This is where I am going to draft my player with the name of the draft, Rock Ya-Sin.
Nice.
To Indy there,
nice,
to help them on the back end, hopefully. I love his name, Rock Ya-Sin. I can't wait for that to be called.
It's a good name. It's a good name. I went with a player that you had already had drafted earlier, Ceylon Farrell from Clemson. There's some thought that he's going to maybe possibly drop in the draft. I still think he's an impact player. The Colts need that. They have a stud linebacker, rookie of the year already, but you can keep – look, you have to have the depth in the front seven. I think the Colts do that with Farrell, the pass rusher, edge rusher out of Clemson here at pick 26. Moving on.
To pick 27 now, it's again the Oakland Raiders. You said rebuilding. They've got a prime opportunity to do it here. I teased it a little earlier. I'm going offense now. Here is my wide receiver, Marquise Brown. A couple of good defenders for the Raiders, and then I think they go wide out with their 27th pick, 27th overall pick.
Here with the 27th overall pick, the third pick for the Oakland Raiders. You know, they had a running back retire, Marshawn Lynch.
Right.
They're in the need of one.
Okay, so?
Josh Jacobs out of Alabama.
That seems like a homer pick, but that's okay.
You knew one was coming. You knew I was going to squeeze one in here.
It's fair. I mean, you have to. I wouldn't have guessed a running back.
I obviously probably hate Josh Jacobs because I'm making him go play for the Oakland Raiders. So, a place where players go to die or their careers die. Right. Good luck, Antonio Brown. So, Josh Jacobs, running back out of Alabama, pick number 27 to the Raiders.
Well, now that we've got that out of the way, let's go to pick 28 overall, the Los Angeles Chargers. And I've got them going with another defensive lineman out of Clemson. They are just popping up all over the place in this first round. Dexter Lawrence, defensive tackle, Clemson.
I like that pick. I'm going with the safety out of Maryland, Darnell Savage.
That's a great name, too.
Darnell Savage.
Hopefully he's better than Tom.
Oh.
He was in the AAF, wasn't he? Or something like that, I think. Maybe. Who knows? That's dead, too.
He's working at Piggly Wiggly.
Hey, Kurt Warner. He's in the Hall of Fame now.
That's right.
He was bagging groceries.
And he's taking the Kurt Warner approach to getting back to the NFL.
That's a bold strategy, Cotton. And we're moving on to the 29th. Overall pick, the Seattle Seahawks. And they are actually getting this pick from the Kansas City Chiefs, are the Seattle Seahawks. And I've got the Seahawks. I said it earlier, they signed Russell Wilson to a big contract. He is their guy now. They're going to protect Russell Wilson with Chris Lindstrom from the Fighting Matty Ices and Boston College.
Golden Eagles, yep. Right, they're the Golden Eagles, right?
I think so.
Or just the Eagles. Here at 28, we're down to 29 now.
Yes, sir.
The Seattle Seahawks. I go with Noah Fant, the tight end out of Iowa. You had already had him going before. I think Seattle needs playmakers to surround Russell Wilson with, so they go with Noah Fant, pass-catching tight end out of Iowa. Hawkeye.
And to the 30th overall pick, the Green Bay Packers are selecting where the Saints would be selecting.
Correct.
If we were to believe Mel Kiper's draft, the Saints would take Jeffrey Simmons here if they weren't being Green Bay, and that's who I have Green Bay take, Jeffrey Simmons. It's a late first-round pick. These are kind of, you know, at this point, I think teams are going to take what they need. I think once you get to 30, 31, 32, it's almost second-round status at this
Correct.
Point. So I'm going to go with Jeffrey Simmons is going to head to Green Bay.
I had the Raiders take him at 24. That's right. A good pick there. I have the Packers here. They need help on the back end of that secondary. I think another Mississippi State player, safety Jonathan Abram, who you already had off the board, I think he falls here. I think he goes to the Green Bay Packers.
To number 31 overall, second to last pick of the first round, the Los Angeles Rams. They're garbage. I hate them. They're terrible. But they're picking now. They're on the clock. And I'm going to go with the Rams. Again, if you notice, I like to see what the culture of a certain team is, and I lean that way in this mock draft. The culture of the Rams is obviously offense. They are a very high-powered, offensive-driven team, even though they have the best defensive player in the league.
Offense is where they're going to go again. Second wide receiver off the board in my draft, Paris Campbell from Ohio State.
All Saints fans are going to be upset with you.
Well,
you should be upset with yourself.
He wasn't going to last at the end of the second round.
No. I have the Rams offensive line. They have all the weapons. They have the skill position guys locked up.
I think they try to bolster that.
I think they try to bolster their offensive line here at 31. And I think they get Chris Lindstrom from Boston College here, a guard. Remember, Whitworth's coming back for one more season. But they need help. They need depth there. And to develop younger guys to keep this nucleus going and moving forward, that's what they need to do.
The final pick of the RP3 company.
Oh, the final pick with Roger Goodell walking on stage.
Yes. Boo.
Boo.
The RP3 and company, Ray and Cody mock draft experience comes to an end right now. The 32nd overall pick, final pick of the first round. The New England Patriots select Blue Devil quarterback Daniel Jones.
Oh, wow. Wow, I love it. I love it.
I think they're going to go there. Whether they decide to keep him or not, who knows? But Tom Brady is going to train up this other kid who comes from a pretty smart school, and they're going to take...
Yeah, because Tom Brady looks like the guy that really wants to mentor his replacement.
They're going to take the quarterback from Duke in the final pick of the first round.
I went different. I went with the fact that Malcolm Brown, they lost him to the Saints in free agency. They like taking defensive linemen there in the late first round, early second round. I think the New England Patriots select Jerry Tillery, defensive lineman out of Notre Dame, with the final pick in the first round.
We did it.
You can view all of our mock draft extravaganza. We will throw it up on the 103.7 The Game blog here in a little while, and
that'll be fun.
We will share it on social media, and that way you can tomorrow on the show you can tweet at us or call in and go, "Bruh, how stupid were you?"
Let me get 5 out of these 32 right. Let me get 5. You won't hear the end of it. Just five.
Oh, that does it for the mock draft extravaganza here with Cody Schutz and RP3. When we come back here on RP3 and Company, we'll wrap up today's show right here on 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company here on 103.7 The Game, broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Simulcast on KXKW Channel 32.1 Stadium. Reminder, the good brother, Ben Love, will be live at the Tap Room in River Ranch today from 4 to 6:30, broadcasting live there. He's going to lead you into Astros pregame.
Oh, yeah.
Because Astros pregame, and then first pitch for Astros will be at 7?
7:10 is 7:10. One of those. So the pregame may not start till 6:35. It's MLB is weird for TV.
So Ben Love is going to take care of you there. Also, Ben will be broadcasting Bumper to Bumper Sports live tomorrow on Friday from Rufino's on the River once again. Make sure to go check that out and stay tuned for that. I want to thank our guest today, John Marques from The Town Talk and thetowntalk.com, for joining us. James Yasko from the Lima Time podcast, and Les East from CrescentCitySports.com. We got a jam-packed show for you tomorrow. Big special guest, former 10-year veteran in the National Football League, a member of the New Iberia Senior High Hall of Fame, and one of the best running backs ever to come out of the state of Louisiana. Johnny Hector will be joining us here, talking about his experience being drafted as a second-round draft pick back in the famous 1983 draft in his career in the NFL. We'll talk all about that with Johnny tomorrow on the show, as well as Barry Hurstis. Our boy Barry is going to help us break down what the Saints are going to be doing on day two of the NFL draft.
He should be on another kind of level tomorrow.
He will be on another level tomorrow. That is for sure. You can count on our boy Barry being amped up. And we'll also have Eric Narcisse from the Daily Advertiser. He's going to be in Sulphur. State championship weekend semifinals are tomorrow. Several Acadiana teams have a chance to bring home some hardware. We'll talk about that with Eric on tomorrow's show. Once again, tornado watch for Acadiana, Lafayette Parish, St. Landry, Evangeline, okay, New Iberia, Iberia Parish. Everyone, please be safe out there. The tornado watch is in effect until 3 p.m. So y'all be safe out there. Coming up next, the sport of politics right here on 103.7 The Game.